Good morning. It's great to see everyone here this morning. It's great to get the opportunity to speak to you. Unfortunately, as was announced, Kyle is still slightly under the weather. He's our regular evangelist here, but hopefully in his absence, I can bring a portion of God's Word to you this morning that we can discuss, we can think about, and we can reflect on as we go throughout this week and through our lives. When I originally prepared this sermon, it's whenever I was filling in Tucum Cary back in 2019, and I was looking at this sermon, and I thought, what is something that I can speak on that everybody can examine on a regular basis, everybody can think about on a regular basis? It's something that we as Christians need to have ingrained in us, and it's something that is not going to break the mold. It's nothing you haven't heard before. It's nothing we haven't discussed, studied, and gone over time and time and time again. And so whenever I thought that, I was like, well, devotion's an easy lesson. Devotion's an easy thing to talk about. It's an easy sermon to prepare. And you look at all the wonderful examples of devotion that we have in the Bible. When you look at the devotion of Abraham in Genesis 22, when he took his son Isaac to the mountains in Moriah to offer him as a burnt offering, because it's what God commanded him to do. The devotion that Jacob showed in Genesis 28, when he took the stone that he had put on his head and anointed it with oil and set it up as a pillar and called that place Bethel. Verse 22 says, "And this stone which I have set as a pillar shall be God's house. And all that you give to me, I will surely give a tenth to you." We have the devotion that Moses showed in Exodus, leading his people through the wilderness, or in Exodus 24, when he wrote all the words of the Lord, and built an altar and placed 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. We have the devotion, of course, that Job showed through all the suffering that Satan had put him through, the faith and devotion that he had to his Lord throughout all those trials and all those tests to his faith. So many examples, the devotion of David, of Samuel, Hezekiah, the apostles, and just the list goes on and on and on and on. My thoughts passed quickly from this being an easy lesson to prepare because, as it usually does with study and self-reflection, I found myself asking very important questions, at least important to me, and that's, what is the difference between devotion and faith? Is there a difference between devotion and faith? You know, the two go hand in hand so often. So many examples we see in Scripture of devotion have these grand gestures of faith attached to them. So, can we have faith without devotion? I believe we can. Can we have devotion with faith? No, absolutely not. But I believe it's very easy to have faith without devotion. Because if we look at it, we're never going to be spoken to directly from God. We're never going to have to offer our children as offerings. We're never going to have a lot of these opportunities and a lot of these situations that these people of the Bible were put into to show our grand gestures of faith and our grand gestures of devotion. Our devotion comes from something more inward. Our devotion comes from a place that is not so grand as it always seems in the Bible. And that's what I want to examine this morning. That's what I want to take a look at, is how we as Christians can do what we're supposed to do. How we can show a devotion to our Lord and our God in heaven without having to be presented with these extenuating circumstances that we see so often in the Bible. The first thing, obviously, that I thought about was devotion in prayer. The devotion that we have in communicating with our Lord in heaven. The avenue of prayer is something that's so, so important. And we have to make sure that we follow the examples of those in the Bible who really and truly used this avenue of prayer and were devoted to the Lord in this avenue of prayer. If you would please turn to Luke chapter 2. In Luke chapter 2, we have a fantastic example of devotion through prayer with the prophet Anna. Now in Luke chapter 2, in verse 36, it's just a short little blurb that we're given here, but it shows us that that devotion in prayer is vital. Luke chapter 2, verse 36 says, "Now there was one, Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day." This is a woman, a small example we have in the Bible. It doesn't show a great example of faith and something grand and miraculous that she did, but we see her devotion through the dedication of her life to God, to the dedication of her life through fasting and through prayer. An example we look at often in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 10. Turn with me to Acts chapter 10. We'll see the example of Cornelius. Acts chapter 10, we see Cornelius. It says, "There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always." He prayed to God always. And that's how we see the devotion that Cornelius had. We look just a little bit further in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, we have the example of Paul and Silas. Acts chapter 16, verse 25. Paul and Silas are in prison. And it says, starting in verse 25, "But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them." I know a lot of times, I know I have the tendency, I'm just going to project that onto everybody because I'm sure everybody does. If I have something that's not so great going on in my life, it's hard for me to get my mind in the place that it needs to be. If I have something that's bothering me, something that I feel I've been offended in some way, it's hard for me not to focus on that thing and that thing alone. Like, why did this happen? How could this happen? What could I have done to change this? And you get wrapped up in this web. Here Paul and Silas are sitting in prison, and their response is to pray and sing hymns to God. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, we see an example of Paul and Timothy to the church at Thessalonica. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 9 and 10, where they say, "But for what thanks can we render to God for you, for all the joy which we rejoice for your sake before our God, night and day praying exceedingly that we may see your face and perfect what is lacking in your faith." Night and day, they're praying for the church in Thessalonica so that they can be the type of people, the type of Christians that need to be. And of course, there's our perfect example, the example we all turn to, Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, this perfect example, of course, is Jesus. Luke chapter 6 and verse 12. We all know it. We've read it often. Luke chapter 6 verse 12 says, "Now it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God." We think of these examples of prayer and we think of how we can show our devotion to the Lord in prayer. But as I look at this, as I reflect on this in my personal life, sorry, I'm not pushing any of these buttons. As I look at this and I reflect on this in my personal life, I'm like, you know, I pray when I'm supposed to. I pray before I go to bed. I pray before I eat. I pray sometimes when I need something, when I'm not feeling well. How often is it that we go to God in prayer for the sake of going to God in prayer? For the sake of just being thankful for the things he's given us, for the reasons that don't necessarily have to slap you across the face like, oh, I should probably pray about this. You know, it's an excellent thing that we learn as children and that hopefully we teach our children, and hopefully I'll teach my children someday, is how to pray, when to pray. You teach that regularity. You teach that pattern. You teach, you know, before you go to bed, let's pray. Before we eat, let's pray. Let's do these things. But then we grow into adults, and before we go to bed, we pray. And before we eat, we pray. And maybe when we need something, we pray. But how often do we go to our God in prayer for the sake of going to our God in prayer? To ask for wisdom, to say thank you for all the wonderful things you've given me. Hey, I've had a great day. I'm going to pray and give thanks for all the wonderful things that have happened to me today, for all the wonderful things that my God has blessed me with today. I need to go to Him in prayer, and I need to thank Him for these things. Prayer is a tool. Prayer is a tool that we can use to help push our burdens on God, to help get ourselves out of ruts, to give thanks, to do all the things that we need to do. But we sure can show our devotion in prayer whenever it's something that we don't see that benefits us necessarily. It's just something that we recognize, this is important. This is something that I need to go to God for and thank Him. You know, we see all of these attitudes, and it reminds us as the attitudes that we as Christians need to have in our daily lives. We can't live as if there's a guarantee of tomorrow, as we so often do. I know I often do. We can't hope for a recovery time from sin and trial and tribulations, things that we're doing that we shouldn't be doing. We always say, well, you know, I can stop this tomorrow. You know, I can work on this. I can try to not do this anymore. And we so often think that there's going to be time to do so. We have to make sure that we are presenting ourselves daily as a living sacrifice to God, because there is no guarantee of a tomorrow. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. It says, concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. We don't know when the day of the Lord is going to come. We don't know what type of preparation that we're going to have for that. Well, we do know that. The answer is none. We will have no preparation. It comes as a thief in the night. So our preparation has to be a daily preparation. We have to constantly be prepared for that to happen. So if we have something in our lives that we know isn't the way it needs to be, we need to focus on that devotion to the Word, the devotion to God, and we need to make sure that we do the things that we need to do as Christians. And knowing that the Lord comes as a thief in the night, and we never know what it's going to be, what the next day may bring, there's a devotion that we have to show in our daily lives. Luke chapter 9, verses 23 through 27. We're going to be spending a lot of time in Luke this morning. Luke chapter 9, verses 23 and 27, we see that we must deny ourselves daily. Jesus made it very clear to the apostles in the book of Luke, chapter 9, how they were to live. And in chapter 9, verse 23 through 27, it says, then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and himself is destroyed or lost? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. But I tell you truly, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the kingdom of God. We are to put the Lord first always. We are to put the Word of God first always. And it's a difficult thing to do. It's easy to say, you know, as a Christian, yeah, of course, I always put the Word of God always. I always do the things I'm supposed to do. I always, you know, respond in situations the way I should respond. But do we truly, upon self-examination, do we truly deny ourselves and walk with the Lord daily? Do we truly put the truth, the Word of God, before ourselves on a regular basis? I know that this is a hard topic, like I said, for me to study, because I realized I don't always do that. I don't always think, hey, you know what? I shouldn't have made that snide remark about that person. That's not something that I should have done, because I'm a Christian and I need to behave the way I need to behave. I shouldn't have thought of myself before these other people whenever I did this thing. I shouldn't have put my own needs ahead of the needs of these people. I shouldn't have put my own thoughts ahead of the thoughts of these people. What I should do is put the Word of God ahead of all of that and let it guide my actions and my decisions. Because if we do that, it's going to naturally lead to some of the other things that we need to do daily in our lives to show devotion. If we always think, what is the Word of God telling me to do in this situation, we are going to regularly spread the gospel of Christ. The apostolic example given throughout the book of Acts shows an unrelenting fervor that we must have for spreading the gospel. And in Acts chapter 5, let me get there real quick. Sometimes it's hard for me to talk and turn at the same time. I don't trust my digital Bible up here sometimes. In Acts chapter 5, the apostles were imprisoned for teaching the light and the glory of the gospel of Christ. And when the angel of the Lord came and freed them from prison and instructed them to go to the temple and continue to preach the word of God, that's exactly what they did. And when it was discovered that they were no longer in prison and that they were, the officers in the court of Jerusalem went to go get them, gather them back, and take them before the Sanhedrin for doing exactly what they were not supposed to do according to the laws at the time. This is why they were imprisoned. In Acts chapter 5, verse 27, says, and when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intended to bring this man's blood on us. The Sanhedrin council was furious that they had done these things. And then, picking up in verse 29, but Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. Him God has exalted to his right hand to be prince and savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses to these things. And so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. Can you imagine hearing that response? Can you imagine how any lawmaker would say, would feel, if that was the response you gave them? Like, I don't care what you said. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do by the word of God. I am proclaiming God's word. Obviously, the Sanhedrin council was furious at this answer. At the advice of the Pharisee Gamaliel, the apostles were beaten and commanded to speak, not to speak in the name of Jesus again. This is in verses 33 through 40, and we see what their responses were to these actions. Picking up in verse 41, where it says, so they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. This is just one of the many examples of the apostles. Despite persecution, despite all the things that were put upon them, continuing to add daily to the Lord's church by spreading his word. I look at that, I read that, and I'm like, what's my excuse? You know, I don't do that daily. I don't do the things that I need to do in that respect. Do I really take every opportunity I'm given to spread the word of God? I think of the things that they did and the way they showed their devotion. No, this is what I'm supposed to do, so I'm going to do it. Doesn't matter if I'm imprisoned. It doesn't matter if I'm beaten. It doesn't matter if I'm shamed. I'm going to do this because it's what I was told to do. It's a devotion I need to have to my Lord each and every day. In Hebrews chapter 3, we see another example of something that we need to do daily. I'll get there. Hebrews chapter 3, the Hebrew writer explains the importance of believing in God's word and in continuing in it daily, that our hearts would not be hardened and that we should hold fast to the confidence and rejoicing of the hope that firm to the end. In Hebrews chapter 3, starting in verse 7, he's quoting Psalm 95 here. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 7, it says, "Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of the trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Beware, brethren, lest there be any of you in an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end." We have to be steadfast in the word. We have to hold that confidence. We can't let our personal baggage get in the way of the things that we are supposed to do for Christ. If we do so, if we do not put the word of God first, if we aren't devoted to the word of God, it says right here, we can be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Our heart can be hardened against the word if we do not hold steadfast to the end. So each and every day, we have to remain steadfast. We have to believe in God. We have to be faithful to him. And we have to exhort one another. We have to lift one another up. It is our responsibility to do so. You know, I talked earlier about the commonalities between devotion and faith. Well, a lot of us tend to think of responsibility and accountability as synonyms as well. And they're not. I'm accountable for me and me alone. But I'm responsible for exhorting you as often as I can. I'm responsible for teaching my family, for doing all the things that I'm supposed to do in the Bible, because I'm going to be held accountable for that. I may not be held accountable for your actions, but I'm responsible for telling you if I don't agree with something. I'm responsible for showing you what the Word of God says if the Word of God may disagree with something that you're doing. It's that responsibility that we have, that we have to stay steadfast and try our hardest each and every day to just put the Word of God first, to put the Word of God before everything else in our minds. And we have to try to help other people, and we have to try to help ourselves when it comes to staying faithful and to believing with all our hearts that the truth and the sacrifice that Jesus made is what's going to save us. All I have to do is follow the rules. All I have to do is what I'm told to do within the Bible and be devoted to that each and every day so that my heart is not hardened. In the book of Romans, in Paul's letter to the church in Rome, he explains that one thing that we cannot do is be stumbling blocks to others. We can't create stumbling blocks for others. Now, this piggybacks off of everything we've been talking about. If we're exhorting one another, if we're behaving the way we need to as Christians, if we're doing what we need to do, if we're asking ourselves, is this something a Christian would do it, before we say it, before we argue about something that's not important? If we think, is this something we need to do? Then we'll know that we're doing what we need to. But if we decide, I'm going to lean on myself a little bit more here and I'm going to go ahead and take a jab at this person, or I'm going to argue with this person about this unimportant thing, or I'm going to do this thing that I want to do, even though I probably shouldn't be doing it, that is what causes us to create stumbling blocks for others. Because whether or not we know it, somebody's watching us, always. We may not even know a person, but they may know us. They may know where we come from. They may know what we stand for. They may have seen it on a, you know, live stream on Facebook or on YouTube. Like, hey, I recognize that guy. He was up in the pulpit. That's how he's acting in his daily life. That causes a stumbling block for them because they're like, well, I don't know if I want to do anything that he's doing because it seems pretty hypocritical. It doesn't seem right. So we have to be aware of that. Romans chapter 14. We'll start in verse 5. Romans chapter 14. It says, one person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it to the Lord. And he who does not observe the day, to the Lord he does not observe it. He who eats, eats to the Lord, for he gives God thanks. And he who does not eat, to the Lord he does not eat, and gives God thanks. For none of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died and rose and lived again, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. But why do you judge your brother, or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. I went a lot further than I was supposed to there. We have to be thankful daily for the things that God gives us. We have to be thankful for the opportunities that we're given. All these opportunities that we have to be stumbling blocks to others. On the flip side, we can be thankful for those opportunities we have to show others what we need to do. You know, often I, especially in prayers, I will ask the Lord to help me shine as a light into this world around me. It's a dark world. And in my head, sometimes I picture I can't even think of the words. Those light towers at the sea. Lighthouse. There we go. I got there. I picture a lighthouse, this big, bright thing that's just shining out into the darkness, illuminating everything that it touches. But if I'm being honest, being a light in the darkness in this or any age is more like a dim candle in a very, very dark cavern. You know, the more you add to it, the more it can illuminate. But there is always darkness surrounding us. There is always darkness that's there. And if we aren't careful, if we don't keep fueling that light, if we don't keep shining as bright as we can, that darkness will overtake it. It will overtake it. And we have to have that devotion to the Word. We have to have that devotion to our Lord daily so that we can make sure that we, as Christians, shine as lights and shine as examples to the world around us. We have to be a living sacrifice to Him each and every day. Early in the book of Romans, earlier in the book of Romans, chapter 12, we're told how we can be acceptable to God. In verses 1 and 2 of chapter 12, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We have to be a living sacrifice. We have to prove to the world what the truth is, how the truth works through someone. In addition to renewing our minds and not conforming to the world around us, not being like the world, but being a peculiar people, a special people, we're given basic guidelines for our daily lives. If we go down to verse 9 of this same chapter in chapter 11, it says, and David says, let their table become a snare and a trap, a stumbling block and a recompense to them. Let their eyes be darkened so that they do not see, and bow down their backs always. I say then, have they stumbled that they should not fall? Certainly not. But through their fall, to provoke them to jealousy, salvation has come to the Gentiles. Now, if their fall is riches for the world, and their failure riches for the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am an apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry. If by any means I may provoke jealousy to those who are my flesh and save some of them, for if their being cast away is the reconciling of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit is holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root is holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches were broken off, and you, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them became a particular part of the root and the fatness of the olive tree, do not boast against the branches. But you do not boast, remember that you do not support the root, but the root supports you. You will say then, branches were broken off, I'm sitting here reading all this. I'm not really understanding it. It's because I'm reading the wrong chapter. Chapter 12. Thank you. I obviously agree with all of this, but it's not where it was going. So in addition to renewing our minds and not conforming to the world, we're given guidelines in chapter 12 of Romans, starting in verse 9. It says, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the heads of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink, for in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. We are to always put the word of God first. If we do what we're supposed to do according to the word of God, we are going to shine as lights. We are going to be examples. We are going to show our devotion to the word. And in doing so, we don't have to worry about being stumbling blocks to others because we're putting the word of God first. We're showing what we need to be doing. We don't have to worry about whether or not the things that we're doing in our daily lives are going to harden our hearts in the deceitfulness of sin. Because we're doing what the Lord has told us to do in the Word of God. There is so many ways in which we can, as Christians, show our devotion to the Lord. And some of them are just so simple and so basic that they don't seem big. And sometimes it may not even seem important, but it's something that I can show, you know, I'm going to do this because I love my brothers in Christ. I'm going to do this because I want to be kind to others. I'm going to do this because I need to show this person that they're not doing what they need to be doing. We have to live for God daily. We've already looked at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, which reminds us that the day of the Lord is coming like a thief in the night. We don't know when that's coming. So if we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing, when that happens, we're in trouble. So we have to daily do these things that we're supposed to be doing. I'm reminded of the Corinthians in Corinthians chapter 15. You know, they're denying the resurrection of Jesus, and they're denying the resurrection of the dead. And they're told, you know, if you're denying the resurrection of the dead, then you're denying Jesus. You're denying everything if you deny this one thing. You're denying the word of God. You're denying your faith. It's fruitless. It's pointless. Your faith is worth nothing if you don't believe this one simple thing. And in a lot of cases, I see that, you know, what good is it if I'm doing all these things for the Lord, yet I leave such important things out on a regular basis? The bottom line, if we don't spread the word daily, if we don't deny ourselves and walk with Him and believe Him, if we're not thankful every single day for all the wonderful things He's given us, or thankful for the suffering that we go through because it's taught us to be stronger and to do the things that we're supposed to do. It's taught us in the face of adversity, we can overcome and do the things we're supposed to do. If we don't present our bodies as a living sacrifice to Him daily, we can be overcome with evil. If we don't deny ourselves daily and walk with Him, we're placing more importance on our physical lives here on earth than we are on the Word of God and the hope that we have of an eternity in heaven. Let's turn to Corinthians chapter 15. I know I was just speaking about this, but I want to look at the end of chapter 15 there. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 50 through 58. It says, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on corruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." We have to be steadfast. We have to be immovable. Devotion is just continual praise and worship and study and song and all the things that we know we're supposed to do. That's how we show our devotion. It doesn't have to be grand. It doesn't have to be this big thing that everybody can see or that will be written about in the future. But it does have to be sincere. It has to come from our hearts. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 34 says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What is in here will show to the world. And if we have that devotion of God, then the things that need to be showing will be showing. It is a dedication to God, an offer of continual thankfulness for the blessings He has given us and the hope we have through His Son, Jesus Christ, and the devotion we need to show if we want to spend an eternity with Him in heaven. I know that this lesson this morning, this discussion this morning, wasn't based on the things that need to happen in order to be saved. It's focused more on the life of a Christian and the way we need to behave. But if you've heard the Word of God, if you've been thinking, if you've been studying, if you know in your heart that Jesus is the Son of God, And you need to confess that. You can come forward and confess that and be baptized into Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. The water's ready if anybody has a need. If there's anyone here who's just fallen away, who's decided, you know, I haven't been doing the things I'm supposed to be doing. I haven't been living the way I'm supposed to live. If you need strength, if you need comfort, if you need any support at all, our prayers are here for you, and we are here for you if you come forward as we stand and sing the song of invitation.